listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to History and You with George Rodriguez Walling right here on LA Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to History and You, the show where history matters because you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts and insights, please call at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Call in and tell me your view on the issue tonight. If not, send me an email, please, at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find me at latalkradio.com and look for History and You. Also, please visit and support my Facebook and Twitter links on the website as follow-ups to each program. Tonight's topic, assault weapons. It's a very controversial issue, especially nowadays with everything that's going on in terms of crime, in terms of assaults, in terms of homicides, in terms of so many things. And so what is at issue is the following thought: whether the personal ownership and possession of a semi-automatic assault weapon, such as the AR-15, constitutes a clear and imminent danger to other civilians within civil society. Within civil society. We're not talking about Basra. We're not talking about anything else except civil society. Whether the personal ownership and possession of these guns constitutes an immediate danger to other people. Or perhaps another question is, if you know that you have the power to take a life by using a weapon, would you use it? This is a very, very important question because many people own guns. And oftentimes it's been said, well, if you own your own gun, you got to be prepared to use it. And that's one heck of a thing, to use a gun and kill someone. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing. So if you own a gun, you got to be ready to use it. And not everyone is, but a whole lot of people own their guns just to say you own a weapon. Another interesting question is, do you have the mental responsibility to be rational and the mental balance and discipline to exercise personal restraint in separating your anger or otherwise altered state of mind from the situation at hand? Do you have that mental responsibility to be rational and to say, no, I can resolve this issue without having to even come close to consider a gun? Do you have the mental balance and the mental discipline to exercise that restraint so necessary at a moment of temptation to say, no, I'm deciding not to use a gun to resolve my problems? Oh, and by the way, before we go any further, I want to say something about the Journal News. The Journal News is this newspaper company headquartered in New York, I believe, where it did something somewhat bizarre. In case some of our listeners haven't heard, this is a newspaper company that has decided, in its infinite wisdom, to publish the names and addresses of private citizens who happen to own firearms in a particular county of New York State. Why? What purpose did it have for doing such a thing? Now, for those of you who are in agreement with what the Journal News did and the motive they had for doing it, I'd like to read you only two references, only two, just to see if they sound familiar to you. The first one, reads like this, and it's in quotations. I'm going to start reading it for you. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. This is the first reference that I wanted to read to the people that work for the owners of the Journal News. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Does this sound familiar? Can you tell me what it is? Have you people from the Journal News heard this perhaps somewhere before? Well, in case you haven't, it's the Second Amendment of our Bill of Rights in none other than our Constitution. Did you people really think that by publishing people's names and addresses that this was going to somehow peer pressure them into giving up their guns? Or perhaps did you think that by exposing them, it was going to give the police an opportunity to home invade their houses and impound all weapons found? Or perhaps now criminals may know which house to rob. Take notice of what the amendment says. Both the militia and the people have a right to weaponry. And keep in mind that it doesn't use any other word like privilege of owning guns or opportunity or fortunate to have guns. No, no, no. It says, quote, right, unquote. It says the word right. The right to keep and bear weapons. In much the same way that people or state militia and private citizens today have the same right to their weapons and without any infringement either. Did the Journal News just casually overlook this little tiny detail by any chance? Oh, no, no, but wait, I got a better one for you. See if you can recognize now this second reference. And this is an even better one. The enumeration, that is the numbering, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Let me read this again because I have to. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed or interpreted to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, can you guess what this one is about? Ever heard of it? Sound familiar to you? Do you people at the Journal News even understand it? Know what it's trying to say? Do you even comprehend your own legal limitation here? Do you even comprehend that? Well, in case your brains blew a fuse, it's the Ninth Amendment of our none other than Bill of Rights in the Constitution, the Ninth Amendment. But even more important, do you know the right it allows people to have? It's the right to privacy. The right to privacy. Privacy. You see, the amendment is telling us that although the Constitution already gives us a number of rights, that's why they use the word enumerated, they give us a certain number of rights already numbered there, okay? Amendment 1, Amendment 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera. Although the Constitution already gives us a number of rights, there are still other rights not mentioned, which people would still be entitled to have, such as, in this case, the right to privacy. By the Journal News deciding to publish the names and addresses of people who also happen to be gun owners is nothing less than a negligent and reckless disregard of the Second and very especially the Ninth Amendment. And so what if the issue of being gun owners is a matter of public record? It's still a breach of privacy. because it exposes these people to a possible and unnecessary and an imminent danger to their lives and their property. There is still a big enough difference between walking into the courthouse and looking up something or someone in the public record than taking scores of people's names and addresses and arbitrarily deciding to mass publish them. And then blanketing your actions under the guise of the First Amendment's right to free press by claiming it's all part of the public record. That just doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. Not only is it a lack of professional judgment and discretion, it's illegal. It's all about privacy. Let me take a quick pause here to remind our audience, for those participants who wish to call in with questions or comments, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd really love to hear from you tonight regarding this issue of the assault weapon. So let's get back to the original issue, whether the personal ownership and possession of a semi-automatic assault weapon like the AR-15 constitutes a clear and imminent danger. Okay? And also more particularly, do you have the mental responsibility to be rational, the mental balance, and the mental discipline to exercise personal restraint in separating your anger from the situation that you have to deal with? There is no doubt that this is a very delicate issue. On the one hand, and by the way, it's not really easy just to take a stand on this. Oh, well, I'm in favor of guns. I believe in the Second Amendment. You have to think about this much more measured, much more carefully, much more responsibly. Because if you don't, I think you're just doing an injustice to yourself and you're selling yourself short. Okay? So, on the one hand, people have this Second Amendment right to own firearms, whether to collect firearms or protect yourself and others from harm. On the other hand, the kind of weapon that you wish to have, none other than the AR-15, does it also represent, in the way that this particular weapon performs, an excess use of force by its demonstration of stopping power? Does it constitute an excess use of force by the stopping power that it has? Is the AR-15 as a semi-automatic weapon any different than other semi-automatic pistols? We know we have them out there, okay? Smith & Wesson, Glock, and a whole score of them. Guns usually show their darker side, get this, because of us. Because of people, not because of guns. If you have a gun fully loaded, no matter how lethal, you can even have a bazooka fully loaded, ready to fire. Watch out, fire in the hole, and you have it there. It won't do a thing to you unless you got a person picking it up and squeezing one off. So, guns usually show their darker side because of people. Not because of what they are as inanimate objects. Guns have often been made to be scapegoats, to cover up people's inadequacies or mental deficiencies. And this is an interesting thing to consider, because when you're talking about people's inadequacies and mental deficiencies, you're bringing in a whole bunch of other psychological issues that people may currently have. I say this because I happen to know many gun owners who also happen to be of the finest caliber of people. So if they enjoy sporting activities with these weapons once in a while, and they do so with the utmost responsibility, then why shouldn't they enjoy using their guns if they use it responsibly? But again, a lot of people that have mental deficiencies decide to use these guns, and they do what they do with them. And guns have often been, perhaps, as one point of view of it, scapegoats. At the same time, looking at this with a certain degree of balance, what in the world are you pretending to do with an AR-15 assault weapon in a fine upscale neighborhood or any other area that's not so upscale? Isn't the stopping power of a 12-gauge shotgun or a Glock 45 caliber pistol enough stopping power for you? What else do you need? Does it have to be an AR-15? Or is it just your egotistical need to compensate yourself at the cost of others for something that you don't have? Are you that insecure that you got to walk around with an AR-15 and tell people, hey, look at this, look what I got? You know, I can remember a few decades ago when buying a 38 caliber, 2-inch snub-nosed revolver, nicknamed at that time the Saturday Night Special, was a controversial item to purchase over the counter. Because at that time, many crimes were being committed with that one particular weapon. Availability of that weapon was easy, so accessibility became even easier. With a note that battle-conditioned weapons at that time, battle-conditioned weapons, equivalent to the AR-15 today, were simply not around. So they were never seen or associated to crime scenes. And even if the crime rate rose 35 years ago, 40 years ago, you would still not find battle-conditioned weapons in crime scenes because the availability of such weapons was simply not there. In such crime scenes, you would only find 38 caliber revolvers. That's it. That's all you would find. So now we have our AR-15s, either tucked away in some obscure corner of your closet or laying up somewhere else in your house, gathering dust. What are you going to do with that thing, if not target shoot now and again, or just stare at it because you have the legal right to do so at the cost of over $1,000? Tell me, what are you going to do with that thing now? Do you go big game hunting? I hope so. If you do, well, where's the sport of hunting big game with an AR-15? What chance does the game have? Look, I know the AR-15 is an attractive weapon to have for many of you out there. But you know, I really can't help but wonder what's next. A bazooka? A rocket launcher? Is it simply because you have the right to own one? Does it come down to that? But you know, on balance, crime continues to occur in similar patterns and similar degrees of severity. But our weapon development seems to be getting more and more lethal without necessarily diminishing crime. Crime is similar to poverty in that it's this thing that just never goes away, no matter how lethal in weapon development we become as a society. So, if that's true, what difference will an AR-15 make then? What difference will it make? Callers, audience, let me take another quick pause here to remind our audience, in case you're joining us late, for the participants who wish to call in with questions or comments, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd really love to hear from you. Okay. Let's move on with our show and talk about what the U.S. Supreme Court has to say about the AR-15. What does it have to say? Well, they protect it under the Second Amendment. In the District of Columbia versus Heller case that came out in the year 2008, the U.S. Supreme Court said the Second Amendment protects the right to arms for, quote, confrontation. That is, in case there's any kind of a situation that you may have to encounter, which no doubt will be a very unpleasant one, that individuals have a right to use arms for defensive purposes, and that self-defense is central to the Second Amendment right. Well, of course, one has to come to expect that both Clinton, through his Sunset Clause, if you recall, it was a law which served to expire the mass production of AR-15s by 2004, or by the time period of 2004, and Obama, both Clinton and Obama, would both be crusaders together in support of the ban of these weapons. And even with their influence as presidents, along with other gun prohibition groups that predicted mass carnage over the mass production of AR-15s back in 2004, it never happened. So the Sunset Clause was expected to expire the mass production of all these AR-15s by 2004, and they predicted mass carnage would occur with these assault weapons. Back in that time period, it never took place. The Anti-Assault Weapons Group, or what I've come to call the Prohibitionists, have alarmed millions and millions of people by selling through the liberal media that the AR-15 is some kind of an ultra powerful firearm that's meant to be spray-fired for rapidly slaughtering people. Wow. While this may be perceived as a slight exaggeration, these gun owners will argue that the AR-15 is at the low end of power among power rifles, comparatively speaking. Because when you pull the trigger, it only fires one round. Only one round. So what does this mean, firing only one round? Well, shooting one round means that it fires one bullet only, and it will continue to fire a single bullet for each time you press the trigger to fire another shot. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the gun, the AR-15 also has an attachment called a clip, which goes attached to the bottom butt of the pistol grip. Each clip can carry 20 to 30 bullets or more, depending on the carry capacity of the clip. But as a semi-automatic weapon, it can only fire one round or one shot at a time, regardless of the number of bullets in the clip. Well, this doesn't sound to me like a slaughter gun designed to spray fire people at will. That would sound more like a fully automatic weapon, which happens to be illegal, at least for the moment. Probably the single most dangerous component associated to firearms is the people that use them. Having the power to kill in your hand and choosing not to presupposes a kind of rationality and requires a mental balance that so many of us no longer have like before. This power to kill, I think, is central to the issue. Because when you know you have the power to kill, but decide not to use it because you can resolve the issue in some other way, is talking about a rational person. When you have the power to kill in your hands and you lose all sense of rationality or most of it, and you decide to fire that weapon unjustifiably, I think there's an issue here, not with the gun, but with the person. So I think it's fair to say that procedures or the process as to how to select and filter out people that can buy weapons or firearms of different kinds, particularly gun collectors, just like there are stamp collectors or collectors of a wide variety of different things, cars, classic cars, whatever the item may be. As long as you collect responsibly, and it's no different with guns, if you decide to buy a gun, there has to be some measure, some process that is more careful than what currently exists today, to be able to filter out those people that are, let's say, questionable mentally to eminently qualify as far as having a weapon of that sort, especially when talking about an assault rifle, an assault weapon of another kind, a Glock, a Smith & Wesson, a Colt, or any other kind of semi-automatic pistol that can do an awful lot of harm. You know, decades ago, when we had a problem with someone, we talked it out. Or we went outside for a beating. Or complained to our superiors about it. Sometimes even filed a lawsuit if necessary. But we never thought about using a gun as our first choice to resolve a personal problem. Never. Be it with a family member, God forbid, or strangers. We never, ever considered using a gun to resolve our problems, to resolve a dispute, to resolve an argument. We never considered such a thing. So what stands to be questioned is, what is happening to us? What has changed? What has been made more readily available to filter out and use our anger issues? Picking up a gun and shooting someone. Today, adults, as well as teenagers, or even younger kids, use guns or have them close by in case of anything. Just drive down a major city, drive down the major boulevards of major cities, and be careful, be very cautious as to who you may have next to you in a red light. And be ever so careful as to how you look at someone, okay? For every traffic infraction, if you're at a red light and it turns green and you don't press that accelerator immediately, there goes the honking. Bang, 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 bang. Holy God, it takes a certain, maybe a second, maybe half a second, to remove your foot from the brake pedal over to the accelerator and to press it so that your vehicle can move forward. It takes about maybe a second. Oh, no, no, no. People are very impatient and they honk. And don't you ever think about stopping, lowering the window and say, hey, Mac, what the hell's the matter with you? Oh, no, no, no. Because then they may pull out a gun and use it. Just drive down some major cities. You want me to name some? L.A., New York. New York, I don't know. Miami? Oh, my God. Chicago, Detroit. The list goes on. It's about our times. Don't ever look at someone the wrong way. Because if you do, brother, let me tell you, you're doing it at your own risk. And that's a problem. what has happened to us today. Now, we're even considering putting armed guards in schools. Hell, I thought schools were made for learning, not centers for delinquents, and yet here we are, armed to the teeth, ready to do battle with each other, with anyone, at the slightest wrong look. Well, where are we heading? Where are we going? I don't know. And so now we've come to the final part. And I want to leave you. I have to leave you with something to consider, a final thought to reflect regarding the sign of our times. You know, we live in a democracy, but many times, I really don't know what that means. A democracy has become so fractured and so fragmented. It's come to a point where the diluted final product of it is hardly unrecognizable, hardly definable, something that you can't even put your finger on. Because I have the freedom to do just about anything that I want to do. And that's not democracy. Democracy has responsibilities. Democracy carries the seeds of needing to be considerate with each other. Democracy involves having the freedoms and the liberties to have rights and to be considerate of other people's rights. But a lot of people, it's not that they don't understand that. It's that they don't wish to understand that. And that makes all the difference. Because if they don't wish to understand that, and the law protects that kind of an attitude of being unwilling, of remaining to be unwilling to recognize it, is a problem that democracy is having. It's an illness that democracy is beginning to suffer. Democracy, one can almost say, allows for crimes to happen. There are such things known as crimes of opportunity. And within the opportunity that a democratic society provides and furnishes is the opportunity of a criminal, a long time established criminal, or a mentally disabled person, a mentally deficient person, a person that has mental issues, to pick up a firearm and use it and kill people. In the same way that the killing people has occurred recently in schools, in public facilities, in restaurants, it can happen just about anywhere. It's like we're almost living in the wild, wild west. I don't know if you recall the wild, wild west, but it was a time when people basically took the law into their own hands. Okay? We're not talking about cowboys and Indians here. Okay? If anything, I've come to think very much that cowboys were a bunch of bohemian wanderers looking for opportunities to commit crimes. And the Indians or the Native Americans were the good guys who were just out there taking their living and lifestyle and living out their lives in peace. Well, not necessarily peace. They would do an awful lot of war as well. But the point is that when the days of the Wild West was out there, I mean, people took the law into their own hands. And they didn't lose a wink's sleep over it. They just didn't care. Just go off and ask Wyatt Earp. Okay, if you had the opportunity to do so. And in these times of the Wild West, I mean, people were taking advantage of our democratic society to do what they felt they had to do to survive. Okay, but within our fractured and limping state of democracy, Today, a call for democracy has become a fervent plea and a very, very frightened prayer, if you come to think about it. It's almost a prayer of desperation, needing to know exactly what is the right thing to do. Where should we all make the turn to begin to turn things around slowly for us? It's a prayer to know what to do. What should I do? Where should I put my faith in? It's become a supplication of faith in our resolve to temper, to know how to temper the pangs and the hollers of those who are misguided in using firearms. Controlling gun use, and now with assault weapons at our doorstep, requires advanced citizenship and knowing how to best represent a people with a long and proud tradition of individual liberties to protect our interests and our property against any and all infringements. Along with that tradition also comes an equal amount of civic responsibility that we as a people have chosen not to do, have chosen not to have chosen not to stand by, have chosen to ignore, have chosen to bypass it, have chosen to be more or be different than what the responsibility requires us to do. The tradition has to have a civic responsibility to our communities in making sure the safety and general welfare of citizens are protected and are secured. Now, on balance, you have an assault weapon described as, quote, an assaultive weapon in nature by what some people would argue as being an excessive use of force to protect, or what the U.S. Supreme Court has described as a dangerous and unusual weapon in the Heller decision. So on balance, you have this assaultive thing in relation to what it can do. And on the other hand, you have people's right to own one, to own an AR-15, regardless of their mental condition to own one. So tell me, how does one come to decide the fairness of being just? Where is the fairness to own one while being just? With guns and crime every day around us, armed guards in our schools, innocent children massacred, people getting killed needlessly in movie theaters, post offices, even McDonald's, high school students going to school with shotguns, and the list is long with so many other atrocities that one has to wonder about the current state of our lifestyle. What have we done or left undone as a free people to also invite the liberty to kill and the liberty to do violence? What has democracy also bestowed upon us besides the blessings of our freedom? Really now, have guns alone been the measure of our deterioration? Or is there something wrong with us? Is there nowhere else to look but inward? Are we the last card in the deck that we have to consider? Is there something wrong with us as a society? Don't forget to catch me again, please, next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. by visiting our website at latalkradio.com and look for History and You. And also, please remember to visit and support my Facebook and Twitter links on the website as follow-up to each and every program. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling, wishing all of you a very pleasant evening. And do we have a call? No, we do not. Okay. In that case, then, please keep in mind our show, our message, our convictions, our values. And with that, I bid you good night.
You're listening to History and You with George Rodriguez Walling, right here on LA Talk Radio.